As we stand, let us pray. Loving God, we pray that you will open our ears to hear your word this morning, and that you would open our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please take your seats? Well, I wonder if you have ever made a phone call and ended up on hold. You usually know you're on hold because an automated voice will tell you that you're on hold, or because an automated voice will tell you that your call is important to them and ask you to wait, or because you can hear some kind of music playing. Now, this can be a relaxing or a revolting experience, depending on whether you like the music or not. Apparently, some instrumental music is designed to lower our blood pressure so that we can feel calm while we're waiting, whereas playing rock music while we're on hold is designed to energize us and even increase our attention span. As the internet reliably informs us that each of us will spend 1.2 years of our lives on hold, it's important for advertisers and companies to try and keep us as happy as possible so that we don't reach wear out, as it is known, and hang up. So they can keep us supplied with messages and encouragement to keep us waiting. I was on hold recently to the RSPB, and in my opinion, they offer one of the most pleasant on-hold experiences, because as you wait, you listen to birdsong. As I listened to birds singing, I wondered if they had a wonderful array of birdsong that might keep bird lovers happily on hold all day, identifying various birds by their songs. But no, in case you're thinking of ringing them, they have birdsong on a loop. But nonetheless, it's a very pleasant experience. With those perhaps interminable on-hold experiences of our own, we may have some small understanding for the Jews who waited for news of the longed-for Messiah. 43 times in the Old Testament alone, people are commanded to wait upon the Lord. And wait they did. In fact, they were on hold for 400 years, sometimes known as the silent years, as they waited for a word from the Lord. 400 years. There had been prophecies and messages from God throughout the Old Testament, including the promise of a king like David, and from the prophet Jeremiah in this morning's reading. The promise of a king who would be just and righteous. And then there was silence. No on-hold music, no messages, just waiting. For many people, being on hold and waiting for our phone call to be answered, whether we're listening to rock music or Bach, we're probably not concentrating on or engaging with the wait. This kind of waiting might be quite passive, staring into space or out of the window. Or it can be active, cooking a meal or ironing with the phone on loudspeaker or tucked under a chin. Waiting can be passive and boring, or it can be active as we find something more exciting to fill the time. So as we enter Advent, waiting and being watchful are themes God is calling us to explore. But the waiting that God is calling us into at Advent is an active waiting. It's faithful, watchful waiting as we wait for the birth of Jesus, who came to change our world. For us, the on-hold phone call wait is rewarded when our phone call is answered and we hopefully get what we wanted. But waiting with or for God is different. God takes the long view. What of great value is how we wait. It's what we do or how we are being while we are waiting. And being watchful is part of this too, because not being watchful can allow us to become complacent. For example, as we wait, we may fall into spiritual complacency, which we can so easily do. Perhaps only wanting to sing the hymns that we like, or hearing the Bible readings that are nice and that we're really fond of. Of course, it's fine to have those things, but we need the challenging readings, the hymns that maybe make us feel uncomfortable because of the words in them. We need those too. Angus Ritchie, writing in the Church Times this week, follows this up, saying that he thinks that the rhythms of contemporary life make it hard to watch and to wait with faithfulness. Much of our time is concerned with tasks and the pressures of work, the worries of this life referred to in our gospel reading. Or people can be so easily caught up with the overindulgence of food and drink that's always on offer in our world, the dissipation and drunkenness referred to in Luke, the distractions. In a tough world where we don't want to or we don't expect to wait, all this is a challenge for us. Time is money, we say. We can get next day delivery on Amazon Prime. We don't want to wait any longer. And if we can't get what we want in one place, then we can go to another. So it challenges us to look at these readings. It takes us out of our comfort zone when we remember that the backdrop to the words that Fiona read from Jeremiah are addressed to a people in exile, urging them to look forward to a deliverance that only God can initiate. That kind of waiting in challenging times can make us feel powerless. Powerless when we can't move things on. Powerless when little is happening. Powerless when we're not in control. Humility is required in waiting. Waiting on God requires confident humility. And playing the long game can be a spiritual art when nothing is wasted. That is how we are called to wait. When we lose our focus, stop being watchful, become distracted, and lose our patient trust, we can subsequently miss the signs of trees spouting leaves, signs that God is at work and that the kingdom of God is near. Henry Nouwen, a wise Dutch priest, gave us a wonderful picture of patient trust not long before he died in 1996. He tells this story of some trapeze artists who became good friends of his, explaining that there is a very special relationship between the flyer and the catcher. I think anyone who is a flyer would want to become a very good friend of the catcher. You would want the catcher to like you a lot. So as the flyer is swinging high above the crowd, the moment comes when he lets go of the trapeze, when he arcs into the air. For that moment, which must feel like eternity, the flyer is on hold, suspended into nothingness. It's too late to reach back for the trapeze. There is no going back. However, it is too soon to be grasped by the one who will catch him. He cannot accelerate the catch. In that moment, his job is to be as motionless as he can. The flyer must never try to catch the catcher, the trapeze artist told Henry Nouwen. He must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. His job is not to flail about anxiously. In fact, if he does, that could kill him. His job is to be still, to wait, and to wait is the hardest part of all. Perhaps some of us are in that waiting situation now, feeling vulnerable as we wait for something, perhaps feeling scarily suspended in mid-air, on hold, waiting, and waiting. It's a hard place to be. We can only wait patiently on God. And as we wait patiently on God, watching for signs of his coming and the coming of his kingdom, I wonder if we ever think of God's watching and waiting for us. We are probably familiar with the father in the story of the prodigal son, also found in Luke's gospel. Here we meet a father who is waiting for his errant son to return. Here we meet a father who is not waiting passively with his feet up, reading the newspaper while he's on hold, but one who is actively searching, watchfully scanning the horizon for the tiniest glimpse of the boy. And one day, his wait and his watching is rewarded. For while he is still a long way off, the father spots the boy on a distant horizon and rushes out to meet him. The father in the story represents a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but watches over us. And the Bible is his love story for us, a story of how he waits for us, longing for us to turn or to return to him. As we watch and wait, so God watches and waits for us. And so, as we step into this season of Advent, how will we wait for the coming of the Christ child? Will we remain on hold, passively waiting for Christmas Day to catch up with us? Or will we be actively watchful in our waiting, searching for signs of God's kingdom in our lives, in our valley, and in our world?